CliffCentral.com.
Minnie's coming into the studio. Now, I'll ask her too for you.
Okay, well, tell her it's Auntie Bunny who taught her swimming when she was younger.
Oh, you're kidding. Minnie. Minnie, sit down here quickly. This woman is from the bedroom. Here she is, the great. Just hold on a second for us, Bunny. Let me welcome this princess the way she deserves to be welcomed, and then you can introduce yourself to her or reintroduce yourself to her. Here she is, everybody. Minnenfled La Minnie. She's looking resplendent and beautiful this morning, and I believe this is Bunny, who owns a place called The Bedroom. They sell sex toys. She also taught you swimming.
Hello, Auntie Bunny.
Hello, Minnie.
You sell sex toys.
She's now she's selling sex toys. She taught you how to swim.
Wow. She did.
Wow. What was Minnie like as a swimmer?
Yeah.
She all right?
She was brilliant. Yeah, she looked after her little brother very well.
Yeah. Look at that.
I was good. I even went into the A squad at school. I was a really good
swimmer.
Minnie, did you ever look at Auntie Bunny and think that that's going to be the woman who supplies sex toys to the women of Johannesburg?
Never. I would have never thought.
Well, good for you, Bunny. Now, Auntie Bunny, I know that's probably inappropriate because you coached her swimming, but what sex toy would you recommend for Minnie?
Please don't answer that, Auntie Bunny.
I'm quite sure Minnie would never ever use a sex toy. No, I'm joking.
Oh, come on.
I would probably say to Minnie, try lotions and potions first.
Oh, lotions and potions, baby. Ooh, yes. She's getting very uncomfortable. I like this. This is good. All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. Minnie's getting very excited. Problem. Thank you, Bunny. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Minnie, please, calm down. Minnie, for God's sake. All right. Stop now, everybody. Good morning, you gorgeous thing.
Good morning. How are you?
You know, you were sitting out there, and you were on your phone. You were retweeting people, all kinds of things. And I looked at you, and I thought, there cannot be a bad day in your life when you wake up looking like you do.
Oh, no, they are.
Oh, nonsense.
Of course they are, but you just don't focus on them, right?
Nonsense. When was the last time you woke up and went, I'm not happy with who I look? I mean, you look beautiful.
Oh, not from a looks department.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You
You've never felt that.
You feel bad.
Yeah, but you're tired or whatever.
Yeah.
But you look in the mirror. Let me tell you how it works for us ugly people. We wake up in the morning. We go up to the mirror. And the mirror makes us cry.
Yeah, right, Gareth.
And then please, I'm telling you my story.
Have
Don't
you
be
seen
insensitive.
Your Instagram?
Don't be insensitive.
I see those blondies you posting all the damn time.
All the selfies. There's so
all
many
the selfies.
Selfies.
Oh, hang on a second.
So self-conscious.
They literally go from degree of hotness.
Oh, you are so full of it.
Oh, my God, Gareth.
You know how many times I have to take a picture before I find one that looks good? With you, I reckon you take one picture and it's just perfect the first time.
Oh, of course. You know, naturally, that's just how it works. You know?
How are you? What's happening in your
life? I'm very good. Things are going great. I'm just really excited to be associated with so many great projects right now.
Mm.
Work's going really well. But most importantly for me, it was really just about empowering women. That's really been my mission lately. Yeah. You know, I've been through so many different things in my life where society has either proved that they'll support me because I am a woman or not because I'm a woman. And, you know, going into sport was one of those things where I really had to prove myself outside of just being a presenter, even though I'd been doing it for a couple of years. And also when I was trying to get to university, you know, my parents had a choice. Do we send me to university or do we send my younger brother to university? And my parents sent me to university. And if you know anything about traditional, you know, families, you don't send the girl to school, you send the boy to school because, you know, that's the person that's going to bring home the bacon. So I've been very blessed and privileged from both ends. And that's why I really wanted to be a part of shaping society and being part of female success.
Do you think in this country we're obviously closer, so that's not even a question, but do you think we're there yet where it's possible for a woman to earn the same as a man in the same position? Do you think it's possible for a woman to, because mostly according to the law, we're the same, right? Mm-hmm. At least according to the law. We've made that progress. Let's pat ourselves on the back for at least coming that far. But there's still a long way to go, right?
Completely. I don't think we're anywhere near where we're supposed to be. And that's one of the reasons why when I started the Mini Dlamini Foundation, my main focus was educating young women who know what they want and who they want to be in society. And everyone's like, oh, well, what about the guys? And I'm like, you know what? I'm not trying to alienate anyone, but we're just trying
to... That's nonsense. You can't help everybody. So you focus your attention on the people you can help.
Yeah.
And you get them some assistance.
Exactly.
How many of these girls are you looking for in a year? I mean, can you?
In a year, I usually try to get about 19 girls.
Wow.
Yeah. And at the moment, I've got about 12 students that are studying teaching maths and science, which is one of the huge issues in terms of education. If you look at the matriculants, maths and science are the lowest result scores, and that's usually where we get a lot of failures. So I think one of the things to combat that is great teachers in those departments. So I've got some girls who are studying that. But one of the things that I'm really excited about, though, is the Dentine Smile campaign.
Tell me about this.
Basically, all you have to
do... Such a pro. She gets all the plugs in right up front.
Of course we do. And then we get to talk about me.
All right.
But what's really cool about this is that all you have to do is send a picture of your smile, hashtag Dentine Smile, get as many likes as you possibly can, and you could walk away with a personal digital ad campaign that will be paid for by Dentine, and also an opportunity to either kickstart your business, aid your existing business, or land you your dream job and lunch with me.
Oh, you lunch with you now. There's the one that's going to sell the project.
No, man. People. What if you end up with dreams?
Okay, what if someone with a really beautiful smile but a hideous countenance, a terrible face, looks like a troll that's been living under a bridge? But the smile's beautiful.
So that's all we're looking
for.
Looking for beautiful smiles
but
and
you'll
confidence.
You'll have to sit at lunch with this hideous monster if, you know, someone like that with a nice smile. At least you can focus on their teeth, I suppose.
But they could have a great personality, Gary.
All right. Let's start at the beginning with you.
Right.
Because we haven't really spoken about your life. And you were born in KZN, right?
Right.
And then you went to school there.
Mm-hmm.
And you said your parents could only put one of you two, you and your brother, through university.
He was a year behind me. Right. So me going meant he matriculated and did a gap year.
Okay. But did he eventually get to go?
Yes.
Okay. So all happens, you know, all's well that ends well. But when you decided to go and study, did you have some guilt over the fact that, did your parents ever say to you, we're going to send you but not your brother?
I actually had no idea. So when I went to UCT, I was like, oh, this is fine. Because I was on part scholarship and I'd worked my matric year. Well, I started working when I was about 16. So I'd saved up a lot of money for university. So I was okay in that.
What work did you do?
Oh, I used to do promotions. Yeah. I worked on a TV show called Spirit Sunday.
Nice.
I was the roving presenter in my matric year. I was basically a part-time matriculant student. I used to go in and sign the register and leave and go audition with my dad and then come back just before the bell rings for the end of the day.
But this is interesting because a lot of people think, oh, you know, these people who are on TV and they make it and they look at you and they think of you as a role model and a success story, and you are. But they think it's all been easy for you.
No, it really hasn't. I mean, this is something, if I look at my life and I look at all the things that I've been doing, I've been training for this since the age of 12. You know, I started out doing pageants. From pageants, I started MC.
Give me a pageant wave. Let me see how you... Oh, there we go. She's waving her hand like a pageant queen. See?
Like the actual queen as well, the Queen of England.
Yeah. She looks great. Do that again. That's amazing. All right. Let's give you a song for this too, because you need to feel part of the whole thing. There, give me the wave. Oh, she looks magnificent. I can see a tiara on you. You look beautiful. All right. So you started off, you had to do these things, but are there prizes in pageants, or is it really just to get noticed so that you can start getting better jobs?
No. I mean, there were a lot of cash prizes, which is great. So I got a lot of money from those. And then there were also really cool things. Like a lot of prizes were things like scholarships and, you know, short courses that you could do and things like that. So, I mean, they really are lucrative if you enter the right ones.
And you take every opportunity. Like if there's a course on, I don't know, calligraphy, you do it just because you want to improve yourself, right?
To some degree. I mean, my dad was very big on making sure that we didn't have free time. I think that was his... No, I'm serious.
Like Joe Jackson.
Like Joe Jackson. No, but I think more than
anything...
Sorry
about him calling earlier, by the way.
Oh, I thought he was fantastic. Sure. Great Joe Jackson.
He calls in all the time.
No, my dad was actually really smart. I think he wanted to keep me away from the boys. So there was literally no time to do anything else. But in that, I got to do so many different things. I mean, if I told you I played chess, I played touch rugby, I ran, played tennis, I was on debate. I mean, I did almost everything you can think of.
Overachiever.
I was one of those kids. I was actually quite annoying. I would have hated me in high school.
Dlamini, are these famous Dlaminis? Are these royal Dlaminis? Are these just good Zulu stock Dlaminis?
All Dlaminis are royal Dlaminis.
Girl. Yeah, but now hang on, because there's Swazi Dlamini.
You know that it's actually all the same thing. So
really?
We're all descendants from one, just some moved off to Swaziland because obviously they were royalty and they didn't want to be under the Zulu rule. Mm-hmm. And they moved and created their kingdom that side. But we're all descendants from the same people. So it's all the same thing.
To make you proud?
Yeah, makes me very proud. Yeah. I love where I come from.
It's nice to know where you come from.
Yeah, I love where I come from. I think it's very cool. Except that we're the Dlaminis that stayed.
you don't have the palaces and all of that stuff.
We stayed, but it's all good. I'm very proud of my heritage.
What kind of people are your parents?
They're really, really cool. My dad is one of those silent, wise types. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say much, but when he does, he's really funny and always has something very profound to say. And then my mom is just one of those, oh, she's so sweet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like a real mom.
She's a real mom. Very sweet, very loving, loves everyone. I come from a good family. I come from two people that really, really love each other.
Don't you think that's probably the biggest situation, the biggest struggle that most people find themselves in this country, is that they don't have the family to first of all, give them that sustenance they need when they're little, but also to kind of help them feel like they're part of something.
100%. I feel like it's one of the things that makes me stand apart. And the reason why I am the way that I am is because I come from love. I come from support. And, you know, no matter what happens, you know, not a lot of things get to me because I can always just go home to mom and dad and they'll be there. You know,
right. And most people in this country don't have that. So we talk about, you know, women you brought up earlier.
Yeah.
And we talk about race and we talk about resources and we talk about education and all of that stuff, but actually the fundamental building block is that you have a mom and dad who care about you.
100%. It's one of the reasons why I will wait before I have kids, and I don't see myself having kids if I don't get married.
Would that be okay?
But I think so. I definitely think so. I want to give my kids a shot at the best. I had it, and if I'm not able to provide that, then there's just no point. Mm.
Well, it's also difficult when you have parents like yours, because then you feel if you don't do as good a job as they did, why even try?
Why try? Right? There's no point.
You know, make a child unhappy.
Yeah, but it's also about we always, you know, thrive to make the next generation better than the previous. Mm. So if I'm not able to do that, like in the simple thing of providing a stable home, then I'd rather not even try.
So besides career success and the fact that you obviously measure yourself quite, You're tough on yourself, right?
You're
your own biggest critic. Like you expect more and you never rest on your laurels. And like Mabali was saying earlier, you work nonstop.
Yep.
You're doing 100 different projects at once because, first of all, your dad didn't want you meeting boys. He wanted you being busy.
Exactly.
And that's obviously spilled over. But you want this. This is what you're after. You have this burning desire to succeed. So what does success look like?
To be honest with you, success looks like waking up in the morning in a beautiful house on a farm with cows and lots of them.
Uh-huh.
And seeing my family around and just being content with that. You know?
That sounds good.
That's success. I just want to be on a farm with animals and my family and just people running around. That's success.
I would never have said a farm, though.
Yeah.
I thought you were like a city girl.
Oh, no. The further away from the city, the better. I like trees and hills.
So where do you go to, where do you go to get away?
I go to so many different places. I love to travel. I love the Drakensberg. It's one of my favorites.
Uh-huh.
For my birthday this year, actually, I'm doing a road trip with my friends. We're doing the garden route. So quite excited about that.
Famous friends?
No, I don't have famous friends.
Don't you?
No.
I don't either.
But there are a lot of famous people who call you their friend. Do they have it wrong?
No, it's not that. It's that, like, my friends are people that I've known for a really long time. Mm. And then I obviously do have industry friends. I do have people that I regard as industry friends. But, you know, they're not the people I'm going to call if I'm like, oh, my heart is broken.
No.
You know, I'm not going to call them for that. So different degrees, I suppose.
All right, let's go back into your career for a second. So you started off, you got that on live on SABC One.
Mm-hmm.
You won the presenter search competition.
Yeah.
And we were talking to Lute Love the other day, Lutando.
Oh, wow, yes.
Who was also on there.
Yeah.
So, and Bonang.
Yes.
Right. So this is where all three of you basically got your kickstart almost in terms of like national television. This is a big deal. Great show. While it was there, it was doing amazing work.
It's still big.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, like, it's not churning out the people like
it used
to.
No, it's not the same. Yeah.
So then you went into Generations.
Yep.
As Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how long did that last?
That was about 3 months. So it was actually just a cameo role. It was supposed to be about 2 or 3 calls. They liked it. They thought it was cool. So I got a couple of more calls from that.
But more importantly, the audience liked it.
Yeah. And that was really cool. And what I loved about it is that it was an opportunity for people to see that I am actually an actress. And that's what I'm actually trained to do. You know, presenting, to be honest with you, is something that I was naturally good at because I was a natural born speaker.
Yeah.
I did a lot of motivational speaking growing up and Toastmasters and debating. And
but it's also
all of those
it's a confidence thing, right?
I suppose. But also, I guess, I was always able to speak authentically, you know, not really sound too rehearsed and not sound. And people were able to sort of get a sense of sort of who I was. And if you look at presenting now in comparison to the past, that's what people are looking for. People are looking to hear you and hear your personality and not cliffcentral.com.
Yeah.
You know,
that's radio voice, right?
Yeah. But there's TV voice as well. Mm. You know, there's a lot of people that put it on and
no top billing. You know, don't talk to me about shows that have TV voice because we know a lot of people on TV who talk like that.
So it's just weird.
Top billing's like the place for that, right?
Yeah, it is. Because the thing is that it's got such
all those presenters could be mass murderers. We'd never know.
We'd never know. Always perfect. But again, it's one of those things where it's the old style of presenting. Yeah. It's the old school. And it's sort of where it all started and where it came from. So,
all right. So then you go on to Zanzi Insider.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Wild. Now, I want to talk about The Wild.
Yeah.
Because even though it's done and dusted and a lot of people have forgotten about it, this was a show with some budget.
Yeah.
It was well produced.
100%.
They used beautiful sets. They had great actors and actresses. Mm-hmm. You were among them. And the show could have worked.
Yeah.
It just needed time.
Yep.
People started to watch it. People started to enjoy it. And just then, they kill it.
You know what? There was some unfortunate decisions that were made with regards to where we were shooting.
No, they bought like land and
stuff.
Yeah,
and then we weren't allowed to shoot on it. So, you know, automatically now the show is now being shot on a deficit. So that's basically what happened. It was just a bad decision. But
why didn't
I still
just
get a
fire
lot of
the person
feedback.
Who made that deal and not fire the whole show.
But fire that person, we're still in debt. Or yeah, they were still in debt.
Then they should insure against these things or something. This is a major TV channel. Some tiny little internet blog.
Yeah, it was a big blunder. But also, I guess another thing is that it was in place of a show that had done so well on the platform, being Igoli. So I think they also overestimated how well it would do. The expectations of the growth were a bit too high. And I feel a bit unfair. I think it should have been given at least 5 years before any real assessment on ratings and things like that could have been taken into account.
But you just, you know, when this happens, you have to just move on. You can't get stuck in these things.
Oh,
right?
No, not at all.
Okay, so then Rockville?
Yep, I did Rockville for a season.
And Mubs, you know, you go through this list, it just goes on and on and on, all the things that Minnie's done.
Well, the thing that comes to my mind immediately is, so we know that you've been working very hard basically since you were 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we look at your CV, it's impressive. And then you hear people getting upset with you for the fact that you have worked as hard as you have, you know, with that whole open up the industry thing.
Yeah.
What was your take on that?
Sure. It's rough because you're sitting there and I'm like, you know, this is my livelihood. This is my job. And under no circumstance will I say or do anything that would, you know, take food away from someone's mouth. So from that perspective, I don't think it's fair. But, I do believe that opportunities do need to be created for, to grow the industry. I definitely believe that. And the only way that can happen is if more money gets pumped into the industry for more shows to be produced, for more talent to then be exposed.
Yeah, but
the problem is that
you're being diplomatic now. I mean, Dumi Shamasha was in here the other day and he told us what he thinks about it. His attitude is, F you guys, this is my job. I'm an actor. Just because it's a public job.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that anyone off the street can walk onto this 100%. This job and do it. You don't have the talent. You don't have the skill. You talk about opening up the industry. All you want is some of the shine. And actually, it's not yours because you don't know how and you don't deserve it.
No, no, listen.
You do, though.
No, no, I get exactly what you're saying and I get where Dumisha's coming from. But also, it's very important. The reason why you see the same faces on television is because the money is tight. And when these productions get given budget, they also get given, well, if you don't reach these targets by this time, your show gets cancelled. So, of course, you're going to go with the resources that are going to give you the opportunity to hit those numbers. So it's a business. And I guess that's what people need to understand, that this is not about making dreams come true. And this is not a fairy tale story. It is a business. And although it looks very glitzy and very glamorous, it's a lot of hard work.
And it's not regular income, because you don't know, you might be booked for a project for 6 months. The next 6 months, there's nothing.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'll say this straight. I was totally broke for a year. Like a couple of years ago.
Why is it embarrassing to say you're broke in some places? Like some people are terribly embarrassed about being broke, especially in the entertainment business, especially on social media. Is it because people are mean?
I guess people just expect certain things from celebrities, and people have an idea of what celebrity means and what it comes with. And they don't understand that celebrity in different areas are very, very different. Mm. I mean, I was recently in Nigeria and their entertainment industry is on a completely different level to ours. I mean, we sit here thinking we're the bee's knees and we're the America of Africa. Honey, I want to go work in Nigeria. They're paying you in dollars. I mean, they have a huge celebrity culture. Those people are paying. I mean, you walk down the streets, they're on billboards, they're on magazines, and it's their own people. We don't want to support our own.
I mean, Nollywood is right up there with Bollywood and Hollywood in terms of the kind of money that that industry makes for Nigeria.
100%.
Right. Plus, you wouldn't really even have to act, because if I watch Africa Magic, it's bullshit. Anyone could do that stuff. Oh, but where have you been with my wife? I'm going to kill you. What are you saying to me behind my back?
But you know what the beautiful thing is, Gareth, is the fact that they buy into their own products.
Yeah,
you know, we're looking at all of the stuff right now where it's 100% local this and local that. And that's where we need to get to as a people, is that we need to start supporting our own. We need to start buying our own products.
Yeah, but then Boiti buys a house and they tear her down because she, you know, I mean, come on, that's just mean. It's unbelievable.
That was so mean.
You must get exhausted of social media, though. I mean, these people who think that it's well within their rights to say whatever they want about you, and they don't even know you.
Do you know what the funny thing is? Is that I just feel like people just expose how stupid they are. I'm like, why would you expose how dumb and ignorant you are on my page? Block. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I really just enjoy it for the fact that it gives me an opportunity to show sides of me that people don't really get to see. You know, I'm a complete idiot. I'm a goofball. I really like to have fun, and I just feel like based on the things that I do, I'm always so serious and so prim and proper.
No, I think we get the idea that you've got a lot of energy, which is probably one of the reasons that you work on TV so well, because it's natural for you. The social media thing, just to go back to that for a second, does it help if you're being cast in a TV show and you have hundreds of thousands of followers on Twitter or Instagram? Does that help you?
Yeah, I think it does.
It does, right?
I mean, not even just on TV shows, and so many different things. I mean, there'll be campaigns that I'll get purely based on the fact that I've got a high following. So if they want to drive a social media, you know, campaign, for example, based on my numbers, they were like, well, we can reach more people with this person. What social media has done, Gareth, is that it's allowed us to become broadcasters in our own right. You know, so we can create our own content. We can make money off our platforms, and it's almost creating a different industry. And I feel like that's where the world is going. You know, television is going to be quite redundant in a couple of years.
Who needs Nollywood when you can connect with your, you know, the person that you're interested in directly?
100%.
So, who are who's the competition for you right now? I mean, if people are looking to get a campaign going, who are they putting on the, because you're on the top five list, top three list even every time, right?
Most likely.
Yeah, good. And I'm glad you said, because that's true.
Yeah, it is true.
And you've worked hard to get here.
Definitely.
Okay, so it's probably you. Probably Bonang's still there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she's up there.
Yeah.
Unstable as Euphonic said to me the other day, she is.
Okay.
And
Nina Nonke. Nonke hashtag.
Who else have we got?
To be honest with you, those Pearl? The top two that you just mentioned, our numbers are really, really high. And then the next people are like less than half.
All right. So what is your following on Instagram, for example?
On Instagram, I'm about 960 something. So I'm the most followed on Instagram in South Africa.
If you tweeted a slightly sensational photograph.
Okay.
Or you put it on Instagram.
Sensational in what sense?
Like maybe, you know, a swimming sort of bikini outfit.
Okay, which I do quite often. Right.
Mm-hmm. That always gets like thousands of likes.
Yeah, that gets a lot of likes. But funny enough, pictures for me that get a lot of likes are my makeup. Less selfies.
In other words, were you just yourself?
Yeah. People really, really like those. And my videos get a lot of likes.
And Snapchat, how's that going? Are you on there as well?
Snapchat is very slow, Gareth. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say in a very embarrassing tone. I'm just not understanding the concept.
You can't do it all. It's exhausting.
It's so exhausting. And like I see my friends and they've got it down to a T. Like it looks really cool. I'm just like, can I hire someone to do this for me?
Well,
Someezy
takes pictures. He sets his phone up. Listen to this.
Right.
Sets his phone up on a table at his pool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on a towel so it doesn't bounce around. And he's got the right angle and everything. Then he presses that timer.
Right.
And he runs to the side of the pool and he dives into the pool. And then it's not a perfect picture. Then he has to do it again.
Right.
He does like 20 pictures, chooses the one and puts it on Instagram. And it looks amazing.
Yeah.
But do you go to that much trouble?
I mean, I'll take, I took a couple, and then I couldn't choose which one I liked the most, so I posted four. But, you go through quite a few. Like, someone was like, oh, I'm sure you just take one, and that's the one. You just said
I
that
said
as well.
No,
we take a couple. Have you seen that meme, though?
Which one?
The pictures before the one that actually gets posted. Yeah. I was like, I know exactly what you said.
Have you ever posted anything and immediately regretted it?
Yeah. So, thank goodness there's a delete button.
Yeah.
So, we just take it off.
But sometimes you're not fast enough. And when you've got 200,000 followers.
Somebody takes a screenshot.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've never had anything that I badly regret. It's just a picture that, like, sometimes, like, if I see that the comments are just really, really annoying and it's just, I'll just take it down.
And you block people. And if people upset you, you just get rid of them.
Yeah, I just block them.
You don't have to care.
I don't.
No.
I don't. I really, really don't. But also at the end of the day, the reason why I block them is because I just, sometimes they start fighting on my page and, you know, sometimes I want to respond and I want to, you know, speak about other things and I want to see what people are saying. But, no, man, I can't deal with stupid people. I really can't.
Have you ever met a troll in real life?
I think I have. You know who I met? Remember that whole like open letter saga?
Which one specifically?
There was an open letter that was sent out about me. And
what did it say?
A lot of very horrible things. And
like what?
Things like I'm going to get AIDS and like I'm horrible. And just like it was just really horrible. And I actually had met that person at – that person was an intern or whatever – at this production company, and
so they knew you.
Yeah, I just had no idea who they were because obviously, why do you need to know who a troll is?
Sure,
I just got told that. Oh, that's the person that wrote the open letter, and I was like, oh, kudos to him.
Ever met a troll, Mubs? I mean,
it's just imagine.
It's 2016. This is what you have to deal with: meeting trolls.
Meeting a troll. Okay. There must be some things you've read about yourself that are just not true that drove you crazy, though.
Oh, so many things. The marriage thing,
Around that time that you were with Itumelengkune, there was a lot of stuff.
There was a lot of stuff that was written.
Because, again, that's where people's sexism comes out.
Right.
The guy, in every situation, can get away with anything he wants.
Right.
The woman is always a slut or a whore or there's this or there's that.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't deal with that, which was at least, you know, really good. As I didn't deal with if anyone calling me names. And I just think it was purely based on the fact that, you know, it was was all just pretty out there.
It's two famous people, and it looked like a perfect picture.
Yeah, so I don't think I got a lot of backlash from that perspective. What was horrible to deal with was my personal life just being splashed everywhere. Mm. That was not cool. And, you know, I signed up for it, but my family didn't. And I thought that was really, really not cool. But other than that, though, there's a lot of like silly things that get said. Oh, the one thing that upset me was the diva thing. That made me sad. When people said I was a diva, I was like, I'm not a diva.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Have you ever been difficult, though?
I mean, look, I'm not...
Photo shoots, do you ask for a specific song and you ask for a wind machine and
I'm very easy to work with.
Water at 22 degrees?
Or... I'm very easy to work with. My thing is that I just want to get in and get out as quickly as possible. So
I worked with you at an event. That's how you seem to me.
Yeah, we just want to get as much done as possible so that I can have as much downtime as possible. You know, that's basically how I work. So, you know, when you start sitting there saying you want wind machines and rose petals and all of these crazy things, what happens is that you're just staying there longer. Yeah. You know, you're wasting so much time. So, you know, you just want to be in and out and do what you have to do. So that hurt me because, you know, I always try and make sure that my working environment is always very calm and drama free.
Right.
You know, because when people are happy, people are very happy to do things and get things done. You know, when people are upset, then they're faffing and then,
and they're stressing and they're nervous around you.
I would imagine it probably also has a little bit to do with the fact that you are a confident person and you're very, you know, you're self-assured. I mean, when Gareth asked you, are you in the top three of the go-to people when somebody wants to do a campaign? And you said, yeah, likely. Now, some people be like, oh, she's so full of herself, shame. But no, you're not. You are confident. And maybe some people read that the wrong way and they think she's full of herself. Yeah. She's a diva. But actually, you're just confident in who you are.
Do you know what another thing is about the industry, which I find very sad, is that not enough people approach it as a business. So not enough people will actually state exactly what it is that they require, when they require it, and how. And if an email has been sent and those things are not done, that is a problem. That is a professional problem. I cannot be labeled a diva for something that you did not do that you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Do you get what
I'm
saying?
That you already agreed to.
Yeah. And I guess that's just what it is that you really want to, you want to get to a point where we're setting the industry standards at a certain point. And, you know, you've got too many people that are walking around and acting like this is a joke and acting like it is a big fat party. And it's not. You know, this is our livelihood.
All right. Here are a couple of rumors I've heard. Number one, that you attend Pastor Mboro's church. Is that true?
No. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Number two, that you actually don't care about soccer at all. Even though you're on, you know, Soccer Zone with Thomas Mlambo.
Oh, that's sad. That's not cool.
Is that true?
No, that's not true.
You do care about it. Who do you support?
Ooh, I nearly said it. Ooh, I'm not allowed to say, actually. No,
Come on.
No, Gareth, I'm like seriously not allowed to say.
What, we're like supposed, in your contract,
yeah,
you're not allowed to
say? We're supposed, because obviously we deliver reviews and whatever. So
Ben,
we,
who do you think she supports? Come on.
I think she supports Morocco Swallows and she's having a tough time of it right now.
You know what I mean?
All right. By the way, do you and Itumeleng still talk or?
No.
No, you don't.
No.
Did it just go horribly wrong?
Yeah.
You just were happy to be away from each other?
Yes.
Okay. No, I'm just curious because a lot of people want to know how that ended.
No, it didn't end great.
I imagine it's difficult to date when you're you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know what the other person's motive is.
Yeah.
And even if they're really nice people, even if they're in love with you, to put up with your lifestyle and you work so hard and you're always busy.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Means that they don't really get to see you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're going to feel like you've put them on the back burner or they're number seven on your list of priorities.
Yeah. And you know what? I've made the conscious decision of putting my career first. That is my first love. That is my main priority and my main focus. And everything and anything else comes second.
But you're not closing the door.
Yeah. Definitely not. It's not about closing the door. It's basically about, I really want to retire soon, Gareth.
Soon? How old are you now?
I'm 25.
How old are you? Oh, piss off with your retirement.
No, I'm so serious. Come on. 30, I'm done.
What are you going to do then? Going to live on that farm?
I'm going to live on my farm and have babies.
Okay. You've got to find your... In the meantime, before you haven't got a man yet. Oh, there might be someone.
There might be someone.
Oh, okay. I was going to get Aunt Bonnie on the phone again and give you some more of those sex
no,
toys.
No. I'm good. I'm pretty good in that department.
When she taught you how to swim, she could teach you a whole lot more.
Right?
Would that be awkward?
So awkward.
So if you walked into Aunt Bonnie's shop right now and she's pulling out like 12-inch black rubber cocks, so you're going to be like, oh my God, Aunt Bonnie, I can't.
It's just weird. I mean, she knew me when I was like 3.
All right, tell me about this guy. Come on.
No, Gert. You know what? I did this already.
You don't have to say names, and I'm not going to get you into trouble, and this is not to cause sensation.
Cool.
I'm curious about what kind of a guy you're interested in at the moment. Just tell me what sort of a human being he is. Is he a successful guy? Is he someone who is extremely good looking?
Well, always good looking because, you know, we want to have cute babies. Mm-hmm. But
you're already thinking about babies with him. That's a big thing.
You always think about babies with the person you're with. That's like the first thing you look at.
No,
like,
it isn't.
Will you give me cute babies? Otherwise, I'm not wasting my time. You know what I mean?
I start thinking I really hope she or I are infertile.
Okay. No, man. For me, it was just really about being able to escape. And go home and just not be mini la mini that everyone expects me to be.
So this is the kind of guy who would just treat you like a normal person.
No, he's still got to treat me like a queen. Don't get it twisted. But knows me and loves me, not what I do.
Is it someone you've known for a long time?
Someone I've known for a very long time. Someone who's actually been one of my best friends, and we decided to move from being friends to being lovers. Levels.
And it feels so good.
So I'm imagining that this is actually the perfect recipe, because if this is someone you've known a long time, they've seen you through ups and downs, they've been around you a long time, they know your family.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a big plus.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine your dad.
But not know my family like that, like never been formally introduced. We don't do those things.
Ooh.
No. Don't do those things.
Are you nervous about when he meets dad?
100%. If my dad doesn't like him, that's going to be a big deal for me.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Because your mom will love him.
My mom loves everyone, so that doesn't count. But, you know, my dad's opinion really, really counts. I was even having a chat with him, and I was like, you do know that you're allowed to tell me if you don't like someone, you know, that's okay. And he's like, no, because I can't bear to watch you not listen to me. So I'd rather keep quiet.
Sure.
And I was like, wow.
This guy is some guy, this dad of
yours. Oh, no, my dad's incredible. He's literally the reason why I'm the person I am. Hmm.
Strong,
very,
powerful,
very
influential
strong
man.
Zulu man.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but that sounds to me like the kind of role model everybody needs.
Definitely. But everyone just needs a really great father figure. That's honestly what it is.
Yeah. Mm. Because you feel secure, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're with him, you don't worry about anything, even though you're not 25, 26 years
exactly.
old.
Exactly.
You when you're around your dad, you're safe.
Yeah, but also for me, it allows me to maintain my standards in terms of the guy I want to be with. You know, I'm not desperate to be with anyone. I don't have to be.
So this guy, does he also make you feel safe?
Yep.
Is he in extremely good shape? Six-pack stuff?
He looks great.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And did you two live together?
No.
Oh. How many nights a week are you spending?
I'm Zulu. I'm not allowed to live with anyone until marriage.
I understand. You're very traditional.
Yeah.
I respect that. But do you get together in the week? Like what, once, twice, three times a week?
Yeah. Oh, if I'm in Joburg, I'll definitely see him.
But you're mostly in Joburg, right?
Yeah. This is my base. So.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So how far away from him do you live?
A few minutes.
Hmm. If you need him, you can get in the car and you could be there in a few minutes.
Pretty much.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Oh, but it's cool that you also live separately, because until you're ready to move in, a lot of people make that mistake. They push everything together,
mm-hmm.
and then it doesn't work out, and then they have to separate it all out again. And
yeah.
Suddenly you're living in one place.
Yeah. A lot of people say the moving in thing is actually quite healthy, especially if you're looking at, you know, marriage and things like that, because they say that, well, that's the only way you'll know, you know, how to live with someone.
There are a lot of telltale signs coming out of you that this is the guy.
But I don't know. I think so.
I'm happy for you.
I think so. Thank you.
I'm really happy for you. That's
Thanks.
Very good news.
I'm in a very happy space. I'm in a very calm space. Things for me are just exactly where I want them to be.
What kind of a house do you have? I mean, I imagine this is like those houses you see on Top Billing.
No.
No?
No.
Do you live comfortably?
I do live comfortably. I live in a house.
Okay, that's very nice. How many bedrooms?
Three bedrooms.
Three bedrooms, okay. Are we driving three or four cars?
Now I'm driving one car.
One car, that's very sensible. You don't waste money.
Exactly, cars depreciate.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have other business interests that are outside of the entertainment industry?
Yep, I do. I work on a few other things.
She's smart, this Minantle Dlamini.
You've got to have passive income. Again, you were mentioning just now, we don't have, you know, stable incomes.
Yeah.
1 month you're getting paid, 1 month you're not. So, you know, you might have 5 gigs in a month. You might have
I saw you were in New York last week or something.
Yes,
right?
New York and LA.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Traveling the world. Yeah.
It was good fun. I really wanted to, my best friend graduated. She got her honors. And I was like, well, I've got 2 weeks free. Let's just go live our best life. So we did, and we just had a bestie vacation.
Anything exciting happen on this trip? You meet anyone exciting?
Yeah, I did. I had dinner at this restaurant called...
This is going to be a story.
No,
here's the headline. Go.
Well, it's not really that great. But I had dinner at a restaurant called Cut. It's world-renowned chef Wolfgang Pack or something like that.
Oh, yeah. He's like big with the celebs.
Exactly. Great steak. And yeah, I love
my
meat.
I'm so pleased you eat steak.
Of course I eat
steak. Ben here is a vegetarian.
Oh, shame. That's so sad.
When have I ever said I'm a vegetarian? I just don't eat meat. That's all.
Oh, why?
I just don't eat red meat.
Are you okay?
Yeah, but like I feel better as a result.
Are you okay?
That's good.
If you push him over, he falls now. He has to be strong.
And at dinner, I'm literally sitting at the restaurant like a meter and a half away. Mariah Carey's having dinner.
Oh,
with
my
friend.
Goodness.
Also having steak.
Yeah. I didn't see what she was eating. I didn't want to stare too much. But what was so funny is that she was in full view. You know, usually like you want to sit like in a corner, whatever. Yeah. Oh, no. She was on a platform.
No, but she's
like, and everyone must
Mimi.
See. And it was beautiful. I was like, she's everything.
But did you get to see her when she was in concert? Yeah?
I didn't. Oh. I got sad because I just felt like she doesn't sing the same anymore. So
yeah.
I just didn't want to be disappointed. I'm the original Mariah Carey fan. She's my original Beyonce.
Like Dream Lover, Fantasy.
Yeah, Hero.
Always Be My Baby.
Yes.
Oh, I love
Music
stuff.
Box, yeah. Not Hero. Music Box, one of
yes.
my favorite albums.
Yes.
Literally cover to cover. And so yeah, got to see Beyonce live in concert.
That's nice.
Was insane. Like I literally, there was a point where I sat down and I went, we ain't doing shit back home. But I really, really was one of those things. I was like, honey, if you think you're famous, you've got to reevaluate your life.
Right. That's famous.
You know, that's famous. And yeah. not even that, but that's work ethic. Mm. That's
she
professional.
Works
and I looked at it and I was like, you know what? I want to be able to put that much effort into what I do.
Well, I'll tell you something. I think you do, actually. I think that out of a lot of the people who I've met in the entertainment business, you are one of the most polished professional people. You know exactly what you've got to do and you do it. You deliver.
Thank you.
People like working with you. I've never heard anyone say, oh, don't work with that woman.
That's good to know.
Yeah,
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And you have every single success that you've achieved, you deserve.
Thank
I don't
you
think
so
that
much.
Anyone could take any of that away from you.
Thank you.
I love you.
We work hard.
You
I
are
love
fantastic.
You too. I remember watching you. I mean, watching you as a kid,
oh,
and
boy.
I was like, "I want to be like you."
Thanks. Now you make me feel old. That's
no,
nice.
But
things were going so well.
No,
you fucked it up.
But you must know though, age is a number.
All right, listen, you gorgeous thing.
Yeah.
All the best to you. May
Thank
you continue to rise to the heights of Beyonce.
Yes.
And who knows, even beyond. I think that this is the beginning of you may think that you're already kind of there, but I think there's so much more in store for you.
No, I haven't even started, Gareth.
Good.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. 100%. Mini Dlamini, have an excellent day. Thank you for popping in to visit us and keep us informed.
Thank you, President of Cliff Central.
Yeah, bring that man of yours around here so we can evaluate him, see if he's worth you.
Yeah, around here, definitely.
Yeah,
that's
bring him
so
here.
Happening.
Mabali and I will do a thorough examination of his mental, physical, business, and appearance potentials. And if he does not meet the standards
right.
for someone like you, we will kick him to the curb.
So you basically Fantastic. Want to step into her father's shoes and do her father's role.
Her dad is in KZN.
Which is evaluating
she
this guy.
She can't expect him to travel up here just to meet this asshole. So I'm going to meet him instead. I'll be the first round.
I like
round,
that. I'll
right?
tell Mr. Dlamini.
All right, please. Give Mr. and Mrs. Dlamini my love.
I will. Thank you so
much
for having me.
Minantle. CliffCentral.com.